God gives us this time to come together to learn in His Word, to study it the best we can, and try to glean from it that we might live a life that pleases Him. And, you know, the bottom line of our Christian experience here below is going to be whether we please the Lord or whether we haven't. And I want to be as true to the Scriptures as I can be. I want to rightly divide them. I want to walk just as close to the Lord as I can. I want to have as much faith as I can, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And the just shall live by faith. And if we're going to be just, we have been justified. We will walk by faith and have some degree of faith. But I believe the Lord is always looking to increase our faith, and that we might be great men of God. He's not looking today for little bitty insignificant nobodies, but I believe the Lord's looking for some great men of God that will walk right, be right, spit white. Amen. And I'm not talking about, like a fellow said, preaching down in the prison several years ago, down at, down in Tennessee. I can't remember the name of the prison. It's down off of 45 down toward Memphis. And one of the facilities down there, old boy was a preaching from Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And he said, there's all kind of black people in the church and the service there at the prison that morning. And he said, I believe if you're saved, he said, I believe you'll walk right, spit right, and be white. I'm going to tell you, that didn't really go over too well. But he just got his words a little discombobulated there. But I do believe God wants us to be right. We're in Psalm 61 this morning, okay? Psalm 56, I beg your pardon. Psalm 56. I don't expect us to get too excited in Sunday school. Not dealing with the subject that I'm dealing with. And it may, I hope it doesn't seem like sound like a broken record. But, fellas, there are some things I believe that God's people really need to get a hold of, get anchored in some truth. And I hope this morning will help us to see that everybody that tacks the name of a church over their door is not the friends of God. And they're not our friends. You said it exactly right, Brother Jerry. They are our enemies. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. And if they're enemies of His, then they ought to be enemies of ours. Let's read the first seven verses of Psalm 56. And where David said, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O Thou Most High, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Now, if the Lord will help me next Sunday, I want to deal with that verse of Scripture. I don't know that He will. I'm hoping that He will. Such an inconvenient time for man or for David to trust in his Lord. At a time when he is afraid. What a particular season to trust God. When I am afraid. Now, it's easy for us to trust God if we're flying high and living on the mountain. But this is not talking about godly fear, gentlemen. This is being afraid or fearing his enemies. Lord willing, I want to deal with that next week. He said, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape thy iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people. O God, let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the morning hour and for the Word of God. I pray that you'll help us this morning as we look into it, that we'll draw strength from it. Lord, that you'll show us great things today. from thy scripture. Help us to lay hold of truth, and may thy word bless us today and be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Reveal to us, Lord, the fierceness of our enemies, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you'll notice our title of the psalm, and although it may not be inspired, but it was the title that was given by the author at the name at the time that the psalm was written. And it says that it is a miktam or another psalm of David. It is a psalm of David, and I call it Mitchum. I don't know exactly how that word's pronounced. But it is a Mitchum of David. That is, it is a prayer. That's exactly what that word means. It is a prayer of David. And, gentlemen, he prayed this prayer when he dwelt in the land of Philistine, in the city of Gath, and amongst, really, the enemies of God. And as I've said in the last several weeks, if there's one thing that we need to learn to do, it's to pray. Especially in the hour that we're living in. There's a great host of enemies around us. And I want to say the devil is relentless in his attack. We're living in the last hour. And the devil knows that he has but a short time. And I believe, like it says in Revelation 14, he has come down having great wrath. And he is not about to relinquish his hope that he has upon the people of God, upon this world, without you and I opposing him. If we just roll over and play dead, we'll never accomplish anything for God. But I personally believe that in the last days that we're going to see an outpouring of God's Spirit on God's people, and I do believe it's possible for us to see some great and some mighty things done for the honor and the glory of God. And we need to learn to pray. When David was amongst his enemies, he prayed. And so we need to learn to do the same. Now, some interpret this to be a golden psalm of David. And the reason being, because of the place and the time that's involved in his life. Some says that it was to David as precious as fine gold. And the reason being, that it was given to David during that particular time in his life when he dwelt amongst his enemies. I believe it was Luther that called this psalm a golden jewel. And it was golden to David. It was precious to David. Fellas, you'll find that the things that God gives you during those difficult days and hours of your life will be those things that become most precious to you during the latter years or on down the road in your life. Some years ago, and I don't like to recall to you the incidents that we've had here that's been difficult, but we have had some difficulties in the ministry. We've had people to raise up and to oppose a Bible doctrine and oppose the truth of God's Word. And during some of those times, God gave me some precious scriptures. One of them out of Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah 54. God gave me some precious thoughts. And from time to time, I resort to those. They're precious in my life. In fact, they are more precious to me than much refined gold. I'll never forget when God called me to preach on that Wednesday night at Bible Baptist Church. And God used the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, when called Abraham out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees. God called me to go out and to preach the Word of God. And when, times get difficult, I'll resort to that Scripture. And you ought to take Scripture that God gives you in difficult times in your life and tuck it away in your heart. It'll be precious to you somewhere down the road. And so these men have labeled this as a golden psalm of David or as a golden jewel of David. It was precious in his life. Now, the psalm, as I've said, is precious to David, for it was given to him by the Lord while he wandered in the land of the Philistines in the city of Gath. He is here a picture as of a dove in the land of strangers. Now, bear with me. Please notice the title to the psalm. And I can't pronounce this to save my life. To the chief musician upon Joneth Elam Rekokim. Now, I know I did not pronounce that correctly, but that's the best I can do. But that psalm only occurs here in the Word of God. It occurs nowhere else in the Bible do we find that term. One commentator renders it to mean a silent dove among strangers. That's the way David felt as a child of God dwelling in the city of Gath in the land of the Philistines, which were the enemies of God. Mark that down. The Philistines are always, gentlemen, in the Bible, the enemies of God. They are a type of the flesh, and they are the enemies of God, and the flesh is your enemy. In fact, the flesh is probably the greatest enemy that you will ever encounter. Nobody can keep you from doing right but you. The world can't, because God has given us faith to overcome the world. And to be honest with you, the devil can't, because on the cross, our Lord Jesus bruised the head or the authority of the serpent. But I'll tell you that this old flesh has not been glorified. And friend, it is just as vile, it is just as wicked, it is just as ungodly as it ever was, and it will oppose you, it'll fight you, it'll torment you, it'll hinder you, it'll aggravate you, it'll do everything it can do to keep you from serving God until the day that the Lord glorifies it and carries it out of this world. It is your enemy. And so this fellow renders this, the title, as a dove among strangers. W.A. Wright interprets it, a dumb dove in distant places. And that's where David was. He was out of the land of Canaan. He was out of the place that God had chosen for His people to dwell. And he dwelt down in a strange land. It's sort of like the children of Israel were when they had been taken out of Jerusalem down into the land of Babylon. They were commanded there to sing a song. And they said, "We have no song. How can we sing in a strange land?" I'm going to tell you something, fellas. There's only one place for home for you and I, and that's dwelling in Beulah land. But there's no other place. No, hey, that world out there can never be our home. It is not. We cannot be at peace out there. If you're saved, you can't. You can't have peace living out there. You cannot have rest living out there. Because if you're truly saved, that is the place of your enemy. Amen. That's why God's given us, the church, fellas, to come together and fellowship in the house of God and hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, that we might tuck that Bible away in our hearts to combat the enemy that waits us outside those doors. Somebody said, "Oh, that world out there is not my enemy." Son, you are dumber than a box of rocks if you believe that. The very world is at enmity with God. It is an enemy of God. And if it is, my friend, then it is an enemy of you and I as well. That's right. But David is here in the land of the Philistines, in the city of Gath. He has fled there from Saul. He has been persecuted, and he has fled there from the hand of Saul, and he is there as a silent dove among strangers. He is like a dumb dove in a distant land. Now, you bear with me. We see here David, or we see David here as a child of God in a foreign country. Fellas, this is a true picture of us today. My friend, I want to say to you as our Sunday school class gentlemen that this world is not my home. I am only passing through. Somebody said, "Where is your home?" It's laid up somewhere yonder beyond the blue. Hey, I am a citizen of heaven itself. Amen to God. And friend, we will never feel at home in this world below. Somebody said, "I feel settled in and feel pretty good and pretty comfortable living here in this world below." I'm going to tell you, if you do, I want to invite you to come on down to the altar this morning and get saved by the grace of God. Friend, I don't feel at all comfortable living here. I don't enjoy the nakedness of the world. I don't like the sin that's out there. I don't like the devil that's out there. I don't like the heartache that's there. I don't like the trouble. I don't find that like the sorrow. I don't like the hurt. I don't like the sickness. I don't like the death. And I don't like the devil. But I tell you what I do like is the blessings that's laid up for me and awaiting me over on the other side. And I've got news for you. The longer I serve God, the closer there I get, the more desire I have to move on out and to be with my Lord. Now, if you don't have that desire, I'm going to tell you, you've never cut the apron strings of this world. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I'm caught betwixt two. He said, I've got a desire to remain here and be with you, which is far greater for you. But he said, I've got a burning desire to go on and be with my Lord, which is far greater. Gentlemen, may I say to you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh my, I'll tell you, friend, I'm looking forward to the day when God will cut the silver cord and will allow us by the grace of God to ascend into the realms of glory in the presence of God, when we'll study war no more, amen to God, and we'll be at rest with Jesus. There will be no more battles to fight, amen, no more devil to fight, no more world to fight, no more flesh to fight. There will be no more sickness, no sorrow, no sin, no death, but we'll live in a place of perfect tranquility and rest in the presence of God. And while we live and sojourn here below, we cannot feel at home in this world if we're God's child. That's right. This is a true picture of us today. Our citizenship is in heaven, yet we dwell in a land of strangers. This world's their home. Huh? Somebody said, well, I wonder, you know, sometimes we don't understand why people live the way they do. I'm going to tell you why. They're at home. Amen. When you go home, don't you live in your home and house the way you want to? You just kind of let down your hair, right back in that easy chair. I mean, you might slip on your PJs and kick off your shoes and get right comfortable. Why? That home, that's your home. I get in that house over there, I just rear back. There's no place like home, buddy. Son, I laid down in that motel room up there on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. That place is full of hell. Son, I'm telling you, they wasn't much rest. I couldn't hardly handle it. Old Brother Matthias went to his room, pulled up in front of the room, and some whore had her shop set up next door and thought that he was her customer. Opened the door and stepped out with completely naked from her waist up. Old Brother Gene stepped out of his van with his Bible and the 38, and she said, my God, you ain't him. He said, I sure ain't, lady. He said, until 10 minutes to 5 the next morning, sound like this, tearing the room down next door. I'm going to tell you, friend, I can't rest in an atmosphere like that. I'm going to tell you what, when I got to 1413 Island Ford Road on yesterday and walked back into that bedroom in that king-size bed, I laid down, never opened my eyes up to it till this morning, sometime about 6 o'clock, before them eyeballs opened. I was at perfect rest because I was at home, and we'll never be at home in this world. We will be at home and feel at home when we get over on the other side. Hallelujah to God. That's our home. You see, that junk is an enemy of the child of God. Somebody said, oh, I'd have took a second look. Yeah, you devil. Some folks would have probably played the part of her customer and went on in. I never heard. I tell you, I just can't handle it. Hey, the world is not our home, and we should never feel at home here. David in this psalm never felt at home. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you don't feel a little strange on this earth, I do. Son, I go downtown, and I look at that crowd. I don't fit in. I told Miss Hall last night, I said, honey, anymore, it's got to the point I feel like a square plugging around hole. They just ain't nothing out there. Old Brother John Fletcher got on them amusement parks up there the other day. He said, what on earth do God's people want to run around the amusement parks for? Yeah, hey, what is out there in one of them, fellas? For a child of God. There is nothing spiritual there. We are, if we're saved, we are spiritual beings. And I'm going to say, hey, there's just nothing out there in that world for spiritual people. It is, this world is intended for carnal people, carnally minded people, fleshly people, worldly people, but it is not suitable living conditions for the people of God. That's right. We're just pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Now, we're going to get into the Psalm. That leads me to say this. Why I said we're not getting into anything really new this morning. We're not going to shout. Out there, fellas, while David was there at Gath, he realized one thing, that he had some enemies. And I'm going to tell you something. The world, and our enemies in the world, does not always refer to that naked crowd living out there. Buddy, there is some King James 1611 Bible toters that are of this world. They are devils in disguise. And I'll guarantee you, brother, look here, you can't sympathize with that crowd. But yet Baptist people have sympathized with them. Our forefathers didn't sympathize with that crowd. You read some of them old Puritan writers, buddy. They did not sympathize with the devil's crowd. To them, false teachers and false doctrine and false teaching was an enemy of the people of God, and they looked at it and pursued it and fought it as if it was an enemy. In fact, such an enemy that it would destroy God's people if he got the opportunity to do so. I'll never forget what Brenda's daddy told me years ago. He come back from Germany, fought in World War II, and I didn't know him back then. You know, we didn't get married until 1967, January. But after we got married, he's talking to me about being in Germany, one thing or another. Of course, he watched the news and read the papers and kept up on everything. And he said, Gary, I'm going to just tell you something. He said, you cannot reason with a communist. He said, I found out fighting in Germany in the Second World War through France and all up into Germany. He said, you cannot give them an inch. He said, if you let them up, if you take them captive, turn your back, they'll knife you in the back. He said, they are not friends of Americans. And he said, there is only one way to get along with them. He said, that's to put them down and to keep them down. If you ever let them up, they'll turn on you like a biting sow and rend you asunder. And I'm going to tell you something, fellas. That is exactly where the enemies of God are. You cannot afford to put your arms around them and coddle them, because you mark her down, buddy, their bite is like an adder. Amen to God. Their sting is the sting of death. Their tongues are full of deadly poison. And what they have to say will dilute the thought, a Bible principle that you have in your heart, and will eventually, my friend, get you to a place that you're so wishy-washy in your stand and in your Bible doctrine, and I am a Baptist, and I believe in Baptist Bible doctrine. I want to say that again. I'm not a charismatic. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist. I'm not a Presbyterian. I'm not a Lutheran. I'm a Baptist. I'm not an Episcopalian. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Baptist! Now notice these enemies. I've got a lot of scripture to get to, and I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to it. I'll run through this psalm real quick because I want to read you some scripture. I want you to look at these enemies. Look at verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Swallow me up. Now, I don't have time to labor on these. That word swallow up means that they are eager, or they are enthusiastic. They're just eagerly after you. David said, my enemies, my friend, they have got some zeal about them. See, our problem today, we don't recognize the zeal of the enemy. Somebody said, why don't you let some of the folks from out there and on WSOF? I will. I'll let them on there when I'm dead. Got that email from Troy this morning. And there's another on there. Said, why don't you have some Holy Ghost preachers on WSOF like Roy Ellis and Marvin Hightower? I know Roy Ellis don't know no more. I've heard the name. But I'm going to tell you, pardon the expression, it'll be a cold day in hell when either one of them is on radio station WSOF as long as I'm the pastor here. I'm not about to let a bunch of charismatic Pentecostals get on there and wag their tongue and fill people's hearts full of deceit and all that garbage, amen, and destroy the blessed foundation of the Word of God that I've tried to lay here for 11 years. I ain't about to do it. Holy Ghost preachers. They wouldn't know the Holy Ghost, bless God, if they walked by. And that crowd don't let up. Man, David said, man, my enemies in this world would swallow me up if I let them do it. Better believe it. Said, man would swallow me up. This meaning is either that the enemies panted after him as animals greedy of their prey, or snorted against him as animals enraged. In other words, fellas, these guys were like a wild tiger. They were like an enraged lion after their prey. And if you think that crowd out there, hey, they, now look here, somebody said, they ain't never growled at me. Oh, I know it's a velvet tongued egg suckers want to try to lick and lap at you with a good smooth toe. I did. Oh, after all, we're all trying to get to the same place. Hogwash. They're trying. And they're going to fail in their try. I'm not trying, I'm going, because I've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Hallelujah to God. I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the Lord, blood of the Lamb. Bless your heart. And I'm going to glory. By the way, I'm not trying to get there. I am already seated in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah to God. That world's not my hope. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to fight the devil's ever out of breath, my God. I'll bite him, claw him, scratch him, gum him, kick him, beat him, anything I can do, bless your heart. Now look here, not only were they eager, they're not only the eager, look at verse 2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many. They're not only eager, they're numerous. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you think you got just one or two out there, buddy, you dumber than a box of rocks this morning. They are numerous, brethren. Huh? For they be many that fight against me. The godly soul has many enemies, fellas. The world, the flesh, the devil, it has enemies within and it has enemies without. Somebody said, what do you mean? I'm talking about within yourself. Jealousy, envy, bitterness, strife, hatred, animosity, laziness. Oh, I'd like to read my Bible, but I'd rather watch it one out too. Oh, I'd like to pray, but I'm just worked hard all day. Enemies within and enemies without. And I'm going to tell you, you better be able to recognize that devil. Every time he crops up and sticks his head up, I'll tell you what to do, gentlemen. Take a good, sharp, two-edged sword and cut his stinking head off with it, whatever it might be. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't feel like getting up this morning trying to get ready for Sunday school and preaching either. But it did. And I got to hurry through these, really. He's numerous. He is constant. Notice verse number 2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. Fellas, look up here. There's no reprieve. I preached it here. I preached it in Mexico. I preached it at Brother Nolan's. I preached it in Virginia. The dangers of letting down your guard. Now, I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, there is no place to let down your guard. He will give that. There is no reprieve. Son, there is no place of reprieve in this warfare that we're fighting. They daily, he first said in Psalm 1, my enemies would swallow me up. And old David apparently scratched his head, and the Holy Ghost said, David, I'm going to tell you something. Every day. You know why? Now, hey, let me ask you something. How often do you feed? Once a month. You eat daily. Now, I'm going to tell you, your enemy has got a hunger and a thirst, and it must be satisfied daily. They daily would swallow me up. Now notice this. Notice in verse number 5, they're dishonest. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me evil. They're dishonest. They twisted David's words. They twisted his words so as to get a meaning which he never intended. You ever had anybody do you that way? Now, some of you never have. I'd say that Brother Brian probably over and over again has preached and taught and said things, and you mark her down, there's going to be somebody out there that's going to wind up saying, did you hear what he said? He said such and such. There's only one thing. They're going to bring one or two little words out of place or incorporate one other little word into place that really wasn't said and try to make it to say something that you really didn't say. They're dishonest. They're crooked. Amen. They're a bunch of rotten, sorry, no good devils. Brother Nolan called me the other night on the telephone. We was talking. Brother Nolan's my pastor. Been my friend now. I've known Brother Nolan. I've known him a lot longer than I'd like to talk to you about. In fact, I won't go back all the way. But he's been my pastor since 1979, in the early part of 1979, over 20 years he's been my pastor. And while we was talking, he said, I want to ask you a question. I said, all right, what is it? He said, do you believe it's a sin for a man to work on Saturday? Well, I don't think so. Why? And he said, well, he said, there's a fella told me that a fella told him that was driving through your area and heard you preach it and made the statement that it was a sin to work on Saturday, and you was hoping that all the men in your church would get laid off from their job so that they wouldn't have to work on Saturday. I said, I've never in my life heard such a concoction of bull. Now, I'm going to tell you what I did say. What I did say was that we would be better off, my friend, to take Saturday and to lay with God and to prepare our hearts that we might worship Him on the Lord's Day on Sunday. I did say that, and if that's treason, then you make the most out of it. And I do believe that's right. We lay in the Walmarts, the Kmarts, we work until 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening and lay up and play cards or watch television or jackleg around till midnight, never read our Bible, never pray, come to the house of God and expect God to meet with us, and God will not meet with us under those cards. No, sir. I'm guilty, sir, but you see how that got twisted my words. They'll do that to you, gentlemen. They're dishonest. They're confederate. Look at verse number 6. They gather themselves together. That crowd, look here. Just like Delilah and the Philistines, every time she tried to get Samson to tell her all of his heart, she always had liars in wait. Philistines, by the way. And the minute she thought you had old Samson, Philistines, give me a phone, these Samson. That crowd come out of their hiding place. In fact, the very next statement said they hide themselves. That's where that bunch of Philistines was at. Just waiting for Delilah to say, I got him, boys, come on out. And then they go, oh, I'm going to tell you what, fellas. They are so crafty, so cunning, so deceitful, that they will hide themselves from you. They'll unite together and get confederate and then hide the truth from you. And, buddy, I'm going to tell you, in an hour when you least expect it, they'll spring on you, my friend, and they'll destroy you. That's right. Now, look here. They're secret. They're confederate. They're secret. And look at verse number 6. They wait for my soul. They're cruel. If you think that crowd out there in that world is not cruel, you need to read your Bible. They don't love you, fellas. They're enemies of the cross of Christ.
Amen.
Now, please just stay with me just a minute. Now, somebody said, "Preacher, who are these people?" Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't have but just one group that I want to deal with right here for just a little while. And I'll be as quickly as I possibly can. I want you to stay with me in your Bible. 2 Peter. We're teaching this morning, gentlemen, if that's a change for Brother Hall. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Verse 1. Somebody said, "Who are these enemies of ours out in society?" I want to say right off the bat that lost men and women out there are not your enemies. They are sinners, just like you were and I were before we were saved. They're just lost sinners that need God. But I'm going to tell you who is the enemies of the cross of Christ. That religious crowd that would pose themselves to be godly and your friend and your companions in the gospel that have strayed from the truth and incorporated into the body of the truth of this Bible heresies, damnable heresies, that will destroy you and your family and your life if you listen to that bull. Notice what Brother Peter said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in," here it is, "damnable heresies." Fellas, I'm talking about heresies that will damn souls to hell, that will lead innocent people astray, lead them to believe in something other than the truth of the Word of God. Now, you can say what you want, but man will know the truth, and the truth will make him free. And if it's got gray in it, gentlemen, it is not the truth, and it will not set you free. I don't care what they say. And I just tell you right now, a man that gets up and tells me that I got to be baptized in order to be saved, he is preaching damnable heresy. Man that tells me that I've got to wag my tongue and speak in some gibberish in order to be saved is preaching a damnable heresy. A man that'll tell me, I know God saves me, but I've got to work. If I don't work, you know, I can lose it. I'm going to tell you what, gentlemen, you can't lose it if you got it. We're not, we're kept by the power of God, gentlemen. Somebody said, they're just mixed up. I know they're mixed up, but they'll pump your head full of that junk, my friend. Amen to God. It is a damnable heresy. And souls cannot be saved listening to fallacies from the Word of God. It's got to be truth. It's got to be truth. Damnable heresies. Now get this. Here's what they do. They deny the Lord. And fellas, right here is another scripture why you cannot be a hyper-Calvinist. They deny the Lord that bought them. That's Bible, fellas. He has tasted death for every man. His blood is sufficient to save any sinner that'll come to him. Hey, a preacher that we all know and really a dear friend of mine made a statement at camp meeting not long ago that sodomites that are today come out of the womb reprobate, predestined to be that way. I do not believe that. It took a lifestyle to get them there. You better hear what I'm telling you, friend. Look here. They deny the Lord that bought them. Now, somebody said, "Well, preacher, you talk about Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson and John Rice and those people that denied lordship salvation." Hey, I've come to... That is one way, but I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Can I tell you another way they deny the Lord? In their life. Now, somebody said, "How do they do that?" The Lord is your master. And if He is your master, then He controls us. He has power over us. Does not the potter have power over the clay to make this vessel this way and that vessel another way? It is not us, but He, my friend, that is conforming and making us what we are. He is our Lord. And when a man in his very lifestyle denies the fact that God has a power or lordship over him, he has denied the faith. He's denied it, gentlemen. Now notice what they do. They deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, and many shall follow. Not only do they deny the Lord, but they draw away followers. They draw away people after them. Brother Brian could probably stand up here all day and give us illustration after illustration and not have to leave Independent Baptist to prove exactly what. I mean, I don't know how many times, but I guarantee you I've heard him talk, give illustration or story after story after story of Independent Baptists that went to Mexico. Double married men that the Bible says are not qualified to preach the Word of God, and yet with their smooth tongue and their damnable heresies and doctrine, they'll draw away men and followers after them. I'm talking about men that once stood for something, men that were once pastors of churches that Brother Brian and Bill and some of them, Brother Troy, organized and started down there. And I'm not talking about Pentecostals or Charismatic or Methodists. I'm talking about Independent Baptist brethren. Son, I'm telling you, the devil is a master deceiver. According to Matthew 24:5, they'll deceive many. Notice the third thing here they do. In verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with fiend words, look here, make merchandise of who? You. Gentlemen, what is merchandise? You think a bag of beans is merchandise? You think an automobile is merchandise? What do we do with that merchandise? We buy it and we sell it. You know what Brother Peter is saying there? Peter's saying this crowd with their slick tongues and their damnable doctrine will get you into such a position and such a way that they can buy you and then they'll sell you. I'd hate to think that I was so stinking wishy-washy and flimsy-backed and noodle-spined that I could let some man manipulate me in such a word like a bag of beans, that he could just buy me and use me and then cast me aside when he got done with me. And how? Look here now, everybody. How are they doing it, Brother Hall? With their damnable heresies. They will convince you that they're right. Not from Scripture, but with their smooth tongue and slick talking that they use. Better believe I'm right. Now, I'm fixing to get, look here, I want you to stay with me. I want to illustrate this to you. Look in Acts chapter 13, and we'll be done here in just a minute. Look in Acts chapter number 13. And women can come on in here if they're out there. We'll be done in a minute. Look at verse number, this is Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And I'd use Brother Williams. I'd say he's probably been involved in this situation before. Look at verse number 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. Now, wait a minute now. Somebody said, well, this guy was a sorcerer. But my next three words says, a false prophet. A Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And I don't need to read a bit further than that to make my point. There was a man that the Bible said was a false prophet, gentlemen. And he withstood Paul and Barnabas to the faith that he might turn this man, the deputy of that country, that he might turn him away from the faith. That is, turn him away before he had faith. Turn him away before he could hear the Word of God and be saved. Now, here's the point I'm making. I'm telling you, I'm not a Greek scholar. But I looked the word sorcerer up in the Word of God. And it might amaze you to know what it means, gentlemen. The word is our word for Joe Blow the magician, false prophets. Elymas is going to be with us today to preach. And watch him with the sly of his hands. You better watch the slyness of the idiot's tongue, my friend, rather than watch the slyness of his hands. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This bunch of magic tricks and all that garbage that's been brought into pony rides, puppets, that stuff ain't of God, gentlemen. I heard old Brother Matthias and old Brother Noel Jordan and say this, for Cornerstone Baptist Church, we are building a ministry on preaching. Fellas, that's why in Sunday school we have one song and we preach, because we're building a ministry on preaching. You cannot build a ministry on pony rides, puppet shows, and singers. It has got to be built on the truth of that book. And God hath in these last days manifested His Word through the preaching of the gospel. That's right. God, old sorcerer there, old magician. Now you notice this. These false prophets will arise from without and from within. Acts 20. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, I'm going to tell you what, fellas. Those grievous wolves there were not somebody that had a different handle. Paul said there's going to be some independent Baptists going to try to scoot in there. Brother Nolan is retiring. And I'm going to tell you something. If Bible Baptist Church in Sellersburg, Indiana ain't right careful, there'll be some independent Baptist from without that'll ease himself right in there. Not sparing the flock. Not sparing it. They'll rape the people of everything they can rape them from. I'm sick and tired of preachers that all they want to do is rape the people of God. And they'll come from within. And also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. How many church splits you had in Mexico, Brother William? Couldn't number them, could you? The church splits you've had. Couldn't number them. Men get in the church, claim to be saved, love God, you put your faith and your confidence in them, and the next thing you know, my friend, they have done split the church and led a bunch of people out of it, and the next thing you know, the church is sitting there with their head hanging down. These people can be transformed into angels of light. I'm just about done. 2 Corinthians 11. Look there for me right quickly. I want you men to know where these scriptures are. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do we do? How do we know these men? I'm glad you asked. 1 John chapter 4, and we're closing. Beloved, verse 1, Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Gentlemen, you better try them. And there is only one source to try them with. You know what Paul said to that Galatian church? He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. I'm simply warning you, gentlemen, to be cautious. To try, man. Which church was it that tried the false? It's one of the churches in the book of the Revelation, one of the seven, that they tried the preachers and found many of them to be false prophets. Son, I'm going to tell you, men today in churches, they better learn to try these men. Try the Spirit. Because there's many false apostles, false deceitful workers that have gone out into the world today. Fellas, not everybody that puts on a three-piece suit and totes a King James 1611 Bible is a friend of God's people. I said this before, I'll say it again. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I'm going to say the only way you can recognize them, roll the sheep, the wool back and look at their eyes. Peel up their lips and look at their teeth. Wolves do not have lamb's teeth, and they do not have lamb's eyes. But that wool will cover down over them eyes, and they'll camouflage them with eyes. I'm going to tell you something. You look in a man's eyes and look at his teeth. Look how he bites and devours. You try them. You try. Because I'm going to tell you what, they're our enemies. And if they do not speak the... And look here. If you coddle that crowd and draw and feel comfortable around that crowd and toy with that crowd and play with that crowd, I'm going to tell you what, friend, you are walking on dangerous ground. You better believe what I'm telling you. Because they'll rasp your words and everybody and tricked and swapped and wallow around every way they can to try to get an advantage of you when they can. It'll be just like Peter said, they'll draw away many followers unto themselves. God help us. Now, and I'm going to tell you the one word. I'm going to tell you the phrase that crowd is using today to deceive people with. We love you over here. We would never be. You know, we would never preach in any way that's rough. After all, you know, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to tell you, I watch that crowd, buddy.